Thank you, Chisomo. Let's pray, shall we? Gloria, sorry. I was asking Chisomo for something else up there, but thank you, Chisomo, as well. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father, thank you so much for your words to us. Thank you that you do speak. Thank you that you, the Holy God, have given us a way to know you, to love you, to get to know you better. And so we pray that you would please, by your Holy Spirit, help us to understand what your word says, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to... Could you get us back to the beginning of the sermon? And let me ask you this question. Anyone reading this book?
Finished it.
Have you actually? Wow, Gloria's finished it. Anyone else been reading it?
I use it at the doorstop.
Anyone else reading it? No? I'm sure you've seen it in the news, even if you haven't read it yet. This is Prince Harry's memoir, which he released this week, and it caused quite a stir, really, as he's revealed various kind of things about various members of the royal family. Also this week, our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, he came under fire, first for refusing to answer questions about his private healthcare, and then about internet safety and various other things as well. Now, I don't know if you've been talking about these things at work or in your friendship groups. Probably yes, if you're Gloria. She seems quite into it. But even if you haven't been talking about these particular things, when you do speak to friends, family, about the royal family or about government, I wonder, what is the tone of those conversations? What kind of stuff gets said? How do people feel about the ones who are in charge? And not just other people, but how about you, yourself? I wonder what you think about, what you say about the people who are in positions of authority. Well, this part of God's word helps citizens of heaven to live as citizens of earth. Christians are strangers and exiles. We are on a journey to our heavenly home, but right now we live as part of earthly kingdoms. And these verses teach us how to interact with the people in society who are in positions of authority. And once again, it's pretty countercultural, it's pretty radical. These commands would have been surprising for Peter's first readers, those persecuted first century Christians, and it might be uncomfortable to us today, because in our day and age, submission is an ugly word. And that's exactly what we're called to do, verse 13. Before we get to verse 13, have we managed to get Microsoft Translator on someone's phone? Because have you got it on yours, Rob? No? Let's see if we can get Zara on board. Have you got it, Eunice? Because you'll need to join this conversation. It's an amazing app. Basically, what you do, if you can do it, is set up a conversation, scan the code, and on your phone, it will translate it into whatever language you choose. So let me just let you scan this code, and then we'll carry on. You can do it afterwards. Okay, we're there. It's really good that we have people from all different nations, languages together, worshipping together, and we really want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to understand what's being said from God's word, because this is the living word of God. So hopefully we're going to get there. Anyway, so we were saying, this part of God's word teaches us how to respond, how to interact with people in positions of authority. And it is a countercultural thing. We're called to submit. Look at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. And in verse 17, the last phrase there, honour the emperor. So Christians are called to submit to obey, to honour and to respect not just God, our divine authority, but also human authorities. In fact, verse 13, what does it say? It says, every human authority, whatever their level of authority. So for the first century Christians, do you know who that was? Who was in charge, the first century Christians?
Rome.
Rome, exactly. The Roman emperor. That's why he says honour the emperor. The Roman emperor was the kind of top dog. And then in verse 14, there are also these governors who are sent by him. So you've got the big cheese, and then you've got lots of little cheeses. But we as Christians are supposed to submit to all of the cheeses, the big one and the slightly less big ones. Now, we don't have a Roman emperor. For us today, we've got a royal family, and we've got a prime minister, we've got other MPs, we've got local councillors, law enforcement, and so on. Some of us are citizens of other countries too, and this also applies to the way that we talk about and think about the people who are in charge back home. In society, these are the ones who have authority, and Christians should submit to, respect, and honour every human authority. Every human authority. Notice that? Whether good or bad. I think our instinct is that leaders have to earn our respect, and if they're not honourable, then we don't have to honour them. It may be if they're incompetent or hypocritical or evil, then we might give ourselves a free pass to kind of not really care about them that much, not really listen to them, to dishonour them with our words and maybe with our deeds. But that doesn't stack up with these verses, because do you know which emperor was in charge at the time that Peter's talking?
Caesar.
Wasn't Caesar, it was after Caesar.
Nero.
It was Nero. And you don't have to know much about history to know that Nero is famous for not being that great a guy, to be honest with you, to put it mildly. He was known for his immorality, for his corruption, for his violence. In fact, he was a vicious persecutor of Christians. He liked to set them on fire. And actually, Peter himself would end up dying under the persecution of Nero, and yet he writes, honour the emperor. Even if we strongly disagree with the person in charge, even if they have been proven to be a nasty piece of work, surprisingly, it does not exempt us from obeying them. Now, we know from the Bible that disobedience to the authorities is not always wrong. Take, for example, Daniel, who sometimes broke the law and he was commended for it. So this does raise the question of how Christians should interact with a government that is corrupt and evil, perhaps committing crimes and atrocities. And that's a very complicated question. Exactly what it looks like will depend on circumstances. We know that our God is a God of justice. He cares deeply about the needy and the oppressed. He wants us, his people, to care about justice too, and to push for justice. But at the same time, evil leadership does not negate our duty to submit, unless that clashes with our obedience to God. Because Romans 13 tells us, God is the one who raises up leaders and brings down leaders, whether they be good or bad. That's up to him. And they do have an important role to play. Verse 14. These governors are sent by the emperor to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So at least part of God's purpose in giving us leaders is to limit evil, to maintain some sense of law and order, some structure, some control, some stability in society. And that's a good thing. And so as a general rule, Christians are those who should obey the rules of the land. In fact, in chapter 4, verse 15, if you flip forward there, Peter says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Christians should not be those who are punished by the government for doing wrong, but rather commended as those who do right. Even in our increasingly godless society, local authorities still appreciate the good work that is done by churches. Things like food banks, or warm banks, or advocacy, or various other kind of groups or things that churches do to contribute positively to the community. In fact, we ourselves here at Silver Street have had people from social services and housing services and mental health services speaking very positively about the kind of support that is available here. Now, that's not why we do it, but in general terms, this should be the case, that rather than churches and Christians being a nuisance group known for causing trouble, we should be known by the authorities for doing good. We live in a world which is set against God, and so of course there's going to be some stuff that we just can't agree with. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we wish was very different. Our leaders are not likely to be as good and as honourable as they should be. But our role is not normally to subvert the authorities, but to live good lives within a flawed system. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus himself, our model and our example, that is exactly what he did. In the mystery of the Trinity, the Son submits to the Father's will and comes to live on earth as the God who is man. The man who is clearly God. Only God can still the storm with a shh. Only God can raise the dead with a word. Only God can forgive sins. And yet, despite Jesus' supreme authority, he submitted to others. Do you remember when he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's? Or in Matthew 17, when he actually proves that he himself is exempt from the temple tax, and yet he pays it anyway. As he stands before Pilate with his life on the line, he does remind Pilate, you would have no power over me if it were not given you from above. But even then, Jesus doesn't pull rank and say, and by the way, I am the God who gave you your job. Instead, he allows Pilate to hand him over to be crucified. He submits to the soldiers who whip him and mock him as king. He allows himself to be trussed up like an anarchist, like a rebel, crucified like a criminal. He was obedient to his Father's will, even to death on a cross. He did that for me. He did that for you if you are a citizen of his kingdom. Punished for what we do wrong, so that we can be rewarded for what he did right. Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you come into his kingdom? If not, then one day, the warning of the Bible is that one day you will be punished by the supreme authority for all the wrongs that you have done. But if you trust in Jesus, you will be commended by him as if you'd only done what is right, as if you'd lived Jesus' life. There's no better kingdom to be a citizen of. An eternal kingdom which Jesus will bring about fully when he returns to publicly rule and reign. And until then, we who are in his kingdom are called to submit to every human authority. That's what Jesus did. How about us? What is the tone of those conversations you have at work about the royal family or the government? Do you know, the way that people tend to talk about authority is often pretty dismissive, right? I mean, you only have to watch Mock the Week, or Have I Got News for You, or read the comment pieces in the newspapers, or look at the political cartoons to see that respect and submission and honour are pretty rare attitudes towards those in authority. It's more likely to be disdain and dishonour and dissension, sometimes outright rebellion. I might be wrong about this, but it seems to me that political activism and displays of defiance have gone up a gear in recent years. I wonder if maybe that has something to do with COVID. COVID was a time when the government reached into our lives in a way that we're not used to. And I think that combination of being told to do things that were really difficult and that maybe we thought were unreasonable, combined with the fact that the apparent incompetence and hypocrisy of the people who were telling us to do it, I think actually that a lot of people lost a lot of respect. And COVID has served to heighten this tension, this distrust and disapproval of our governing authorities. And look, let's be honest, we as Christians feel that tension along with everyone else. It's not always easy, but our Lord and Master calls us to submit to every human authority, to honour the emperor. Now, it's not that we should never raise our concerns. It's not that we can never protest or that we should never criticise. It's right that God's people should plead the cause of truth and life and justice. So I'm not suggesting we just always keep our mouths shut and let people run over us and overlook evil. That wouldn't be right either. But our default posture should be one of submission. Even when that's difficult, even when we disagree, our attitude is to be one of respect and honour to the people that God has put in charge. There may be exceptions to the rule, but we should obey the rules. Even the small ones that don't seem to matter too much, like speed limits and paying for streaming, making sure we have the right immigration status, paying all the tax that we owe. We must submit to the governing authorities and to the rules that they have put in place and honour them, including praying for them, speaking in respectful ways about them, giving the benefit of the doubt to them. We should submit and we should honour. Why? Well, actually, the reason is given to us by Peter here in verse 13. Take a look. What does he say? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. For the Lord's sake. That's why we do it. Submitting to human authorities is for the Lord's sake. That could mean two things. That could be for the Lord's sake, as in for the glory of God, or for the Lord's sake, as in obedience to God, because he is our Lord. And actually, we see both of these aspects here in these verses. So firstly, we submit to human authorities for the glory of God. You see, this is just an outworking of what we saw last week. Last week was our verse for the year. Here it is. Live such good lives among the Gentiles that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. We were reminded last week to remember our identity as the people of God, strangers in this world, so that we avoid sinful desires, so that we live such good lives, such beautiful lives, that unbelievers around us start to sit up and take notice, and eventually they might come to know Jesus and to glorify God as they come to faith themselves. So our notably good lives, our publicly good lives, are part of what God uses to bring people to himself for his glory. That is the big overarching principle that Peter then expands on in the rest of this chapter and the beginning of the next. He fleshes it out in three areas of life. What does it look like to live such good lives in society, in the workplace, and in family? And the driving concern behind these commands is the glory of God. The reason that we should submit to human authorities in society is for the sake of our witness to unbelievers. Or as verse 15 puts it, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. These foolish people are the ones who accuse us of doing wrong. Like we saw in our verse for the year. Those who accuse you of doing wrong, they're the foolish people. And there are people like that. There are people who are looking for any excuse to stick the boot in to Christians. They'll pounce on any chance that they have to make us look bad. And so Peter says, don't give them the opportunity. Live such good lives that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good deeds. This is one of the areas where we can stand out and shine like stars for Jesus. If our work colleagues hear us speaking rudely about our Prime Minister, what does that communicate about Jesus? If our family sees us speeding, if our neighbours see us ignoring parking restrictions, if we share something on social media mocking the government, does that honour Christ as we represent him in this world? If Christians are known as troublemakers and lawbreakers, that's hardly going to silence the talk of foolish people. Look, we only want to get in trouble with the authorities when we have to, right? We only want to get in trouble with the authorities when it's for the sake of the gospel, when that means obeying God rather than obeying man. And the rest of the time, we submit to human authorities for the Lord's sake, for the glory of God. And also for the Lord's sake in the sense of in obedience to God. So we submit to human authorities because Jesus is Lord. Verse 16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. So we are free, and we are not free. We live the freest life that there is. We are free from the guilt of sin, praise God. We are free from the power of sin, praise God. We are free from that unliftable burden of trying to make ourselves right with God, praise God. We are not under law, we are under grace, praise God. And so we might think, okay, being a Christian, we're free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we're free from that burden of rules. And anyway, the Prime Minister, he is not my master. Jesus is. Amen. Absolutely right. But that doesn't mean that we can just do what we like. Verse 16. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, because we're also God's slaves. We're free, but we're not free. So you might say, well, look, I'm a child of God. You know, this is the greatest reality to me. I am the spiritual realm is more significant than the physical realm. The kingdom of heaven is more important, more powerful than the kingdoms of earth. You're right. You might say, I'm a child of God. He is my master. I'm not answerable to these non-Christian leaders, just to God. Totally true. And yet, what is it that God calls you to do? To submit to the human authorities. For the Lord's sake. So ultimately, we honour and submit to human authorities, not because of their authority, but because of God's authority. Not because they tell us to, but because God tells us to. In one sense, they have no say over our life, other than the say that God has given them. We are servants of a higher king, and that king has sent us back into a world where we are subject to human authorities. God is the true supreme authority, and obeying him means submitting to these others. And so what Peter lays out here is kind of a hierarchy of relationships. Verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God, honour the emperor. Let's take those in turn. So show proper respect to everyone. It's the Greek word for honour. Honour everyone. We should relate to every single human being as having the dignity and value of someone made in the image of God. And we should give each person the particular respect that they are due to the position in God's world that he has given them. So we are to honour everyone. But then there's a special affection for Christians. So love the family of believers. It's the Greek word agape, that deep, loyal love, the love of God, the love that the Father has showed us by sending his Son, the love that Jesus has showed us by dying in our place, the love of the Spirit who indwells us and makes us children of God. For our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a special kind of love. And then it says, look at verse 17, notice this. It says, fear God and honour the emperor. It's interesting, isn't it, that it goes back to the honour word for the emperor. So rulers, like the emperor or the prime minister, they are due our respect and our submission, but in line with who they are, one of everyone. And that's definitely a step down from God. It doesn't say fear the emperor, it says fear God. And this is why we do disobey the government when that would mean disobeying God. Because God owns the top spot. He is the one who is in charge. You might say that God trumps even Trump. He is in the top spot. There is no president or no prime minister who has more authority than him. He sits on top of the pile. He is the supreme authority. I find it quite funny, verse 13. He does say that the emperor is the supreme authority, but then verse 17, he makes it very clear that really is not the supreme authority, not when you put God into the picture as well. We honour the emperor, but we fear God because he is the top of the pile. He is the God of glory, and so we fear him. We tremble in his holy presence, and yet we run into that presence because we love him, because he's beautiful. We fearfully obey him, not like an emperor whose punishment we're terrified of, but like a father that we hate to disappoint and we love to please. And this God has called us his people, as citizens of heaven, to live as citizens of earth, to live such good lives for his glory. And so, for the Lord's sake, let us submit to every human authority. We're going to need God's help with that. It's not easy. So shall we pray and ask for his help? Our Father in heaven, these things are complicated and they're difficult. And so we pray for your help to know how to obey the commands of your word. We're sorry for the times where we have acted wrongly or spoken wrongly in relation to the people that you have put in charge of our country or our home countries. Please forgive us for the times where we have not honoured those that you have placed in positions of authority with the respect that they are due. Help us to be careful, to be distinctive, to shine like stars amongst others around us in the way that we speak and behave in relation to those in charge. Please help us by your Spirit to obey your commands, even when it's difficult and even when it jars with us. Fill us with your Spirit to enable us to live such good lives among those who don't yet know you, that though they might accuse us of doing wrong, they may see our good deeds and glorify you as you come and make yourself known to them. We pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.